And it is great to have your company once again this morning, a special edition of Racing Pulse live from Moonee Valley. It's been a great morning. It's been a controversial morning. We have just had the final field and the barrier draws announced for the running of the 100th Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Time for our special Cox Plate panel. Jason Richardson from Racing.com, Michael Brow, the CEO of the Moonee Valley Racing Club, and Matty Stewart is back in RSN Towers as well. Richo, first of all to you. We're live on air, and fair to say, you nearly fell off your chair once the announcement was made that Buckhurst was out and the three-year-old was in.
Yeah, well, look, I was staggered, and no doubt the committee will articulate all the reasons why that they made that decision. I know they're very keen to have a three-year-old in, but a three-year-old that's won a benchmark 66 race at Morfordville, albeit then ran third in a Caulfield Guineas, and you know the comparisons will be made straight away with So You Think. He ran fifth in a Caulfield Guineas, but he won the Gloaming Stakes. There'll be comparisons with Seamus Award, and he was placed in a Caulfield Guineas, but he was appropriately an emergency, and I thought that's the spot the Grand Slam should be, appropriately emergency, like Seamus Award, because I believe that the emergency has just as good a form as Sir Dragon A. I think Buckhurst has, well, they met in a three-horse field in Ireland in a Group 3, and eat level weights. Buckhurst was too good. Sir Dragon A was beaten at a listed race at Royal Ascot. So I think there's an argument to be said that Buckhurst should be ahead of Sir Dragon A, and there's another argument to say that Buckhurst should definitely be ahead of Master of Wine.
So many twists and turns. You can let us know what you think too. SMS is 0416 90 50 52. And then we get the favourite, Russian Camelot, drawing the extreme outside barrier at 15. He'll jump from 14. Before I bring in Michael Brown, Matty Stewart, first of all, your thoughts on the final field, the makeup of that field?
Yeah, just listening to what Richo was saying about Seamus Award and So You Think, it's almost like the precedent almost created a rod for the back of the committee to focus on the three-year-olds, and they've thrown one in who does have the loosest credentials I've probably seen for a three-year-old in a long, long time. But there's also that exotic who-knows factor with a three-year-old where this race can actually launch an anonymous three-year-old into the stratosphere as it's done before. So I understanding the exotic inclusion of Grand Slam, I think he's the lowest credentialed three-year-old we've seen in a long, long time. And as Richo said, maybe first emergency would have been the right place for him. But you know, with Mar Eustace as well, that this three-year-old could, who knows, it might explode and come out and run the race of his life. So, I like the fact that it's controversial because it wouldn't be a Cox Plate without a controversial committee decision.
And the other one to add into that discussion is Mugatu. He's won a Newcastle Cup at Group 3 level. Mm. Yes, he's got that Group 1 placing. So it seems like the committee's placed a large emphasis on a Group 1 placing, the Group 1 placing being in the Metropolitan when it was defeated by Mirage Dancer, as opposed to horses like Buckhurst who have won multiple Group 3s over in Europe versus one Group 3 in Australia, the Newcastle Cup.
Yeah, I kind of think, do you want it to be like getting into a nightclub? Do you want it to be hard to get in, or do you want it to be easy to get in? And I think the point of difference of the Cox Plate has been and should be, and this goes back to the Cole Diesel eviction of 1989, I like the idea of an absolutely cherry-picked elite field of ooh-ah horses who you don't even need the race book to know who they are. They're that famous. But then again, if I'd applied that rule to So You Think and Seamus Award and others, I wouldn't have had them in the field and we wouldn't have seen them do what they did. So there's no easy answer either way. But I prefer a non-capacity field of elite horses rather than a capacity field fleshed out by two or three horses that I don't really think should be there.
Matty Stewart's going back to his adolescent days. He cop more don't argues, dusties.
Not with those shoes on.
Exactly right.
Never got in once.
Would have been the white leopard print. Hey, Michael Brow is the CEO of the Moonee Valley Racing Club. It's going to be an interesting couple of days for you. The initial feedback, the thoughts. You like a bit of controversy heading into your most illustrious race, but do you think the committee... It's hard for you to answer this. Were you on the side of the committee or not?
I don't get a vote on the final composition of the Cox Plate field, but I certainly have an opportunity to share my views. We went through each of those horses that were borderline. There was obviously pros and cons for each of them. It effectively came down to four horses chasing the final three spots and then working through which horse would be the emergency. The committee have landed on Buckhurst to to be the first emergency. Now, that's not to say you won't get a run. There's a lot can happen over the next few days. And I've heard Jason referring to the three-horse race where he did beat Sir Dragon A home. But the one that perhaps was front of mind with the committee was when they met then at Group 1 level towards the end of July. Buckhurst, of course, ran last in a field of six, beaten almost seven lengths, and Sir Dragon A finished behind Magical. So that's where Sir Dragon A was able to elevate above Buckhurst, and you know, the Buckhurst victory over Sir Dragon A was a Group 3. Now, the club doesn't have guidelines, if you like, that are set in stone, but we have what we call guiding principles, and that was applied to each of those four runners. Natoya, of course, won the Group 1 Doncaster back in March, which last year she didn't get in the field. She was the 19th horse and wasn't even an emergency, but the Group 1 win was enough to see Natoya elevated into the field. And the Caulfield Guineas is a race that we do rate very highly. And obviously horses get to the Caulfield Guineas having followed different paths, and you can talk about horses like So You Think. You can talk about a horse like Seamus Award. Another one in recent years was a horse called Wangina. So we had him in the Cox Plate field, and of course he came out and won the Australian Guineas in the March. But we are keen to see three-year-olds, high-quality three-year-olds in the Cox Plate with the 49.5 kilos. And we think the Grand Slam, particularly now that he's drawn gate five, should be able to be a leader. He'll ensure a decent clip in the run, and I think it'll give all horses their chance to win.
Nick Williams, co-owner of Buckhurst, joins us now. Nick, obviously you'll be disappointed, yourself and your dad Lloyd, but looking at it from a racing perspective point of view, facts and figures, are you surprised at this decision?
I'm shocked, to be honest with you, but you know, it's, the club can make any decision they like, and you know, I'm a sportsman and I just wish them a good race, but I am absolutely shocked because I can't find any reason, for example, how Master of Wine gets in before Buckhurst. He's not Group 1 place. Only 7 days ago, Buckhurst has giving him a kilo and a half, has beaten him a length or a length and a half in the Caulfield Cup. Seems illogical to me. And then you've got, you know, what seems to be a total disregard of the rules of racing, whereby, you know, it's pretty clear in the rules of racing, if you've got a late entry in a race, it goes to the bottom of the ballot order, and that's the three-year-old, you know, which, by the way, is probably only rated about 80. But so that seems to have just, we've seemed to have disregarded the rules of racing there, which is fine. But no, I'm shocked, to be honest with you, and, yeah, very disappointed. But, you know, I wish the club well in the race.
If I can just, Nick, Michael Braille, how are you?
Yeah, good, Mike.
He's shocked, Michael. He's shocked. That's he's how shocked. He is.
He's shocked. But he is a sportsman, and just on that, Grand Slam comes in out of his Caulfield Guineas third placing with a rating of 112. And whilst we do have the rules of racing, the Cox Plate is, of course, the only race in the country where the committee have the final discretion as to the composition of the final field. So they've applied that discretion this morning. And as I said earlier, the challenge is four doesn't go into three. And it was a long conversation, and it was a difficult decision in settling on the final order for the runners this year.
I don't know who your four are. I didn't hear you. You must have said who your four are. But, you know, it's, you know, for example, Buckhurst beat Sir Dragon A twice, giving him weight both times. You know, he's Master of Wine. He's met him once and beat him convincingly, giving him weight. The three-year-old should be the last pick. I think people seem to be forgetting that Seamus Award was actually an emergency for the race. Wasn't put in the field till there was a scratching, from memory. You know, you've got a three-year-old that started at Caulfield Guineas at 50-1 on a rating of 66. Well, anyway, if that's the direction the club are going, that's fine, and that's not for me to argue. I just find it very surprising, and quite frankly, I think it's I don't think it serves the race well. But anyway, that's not my decision.
There was certainly plenty of discussion after the Tuesday morning last year. And I'll say to the listeners, the committee do take this very, very seriously. There's a lot of work that goes into assessing the performances of each of the horses. And half of the challenge, too, is looking forward. What is the potential? Which horses have the upside? Which ones do we think will springboard off this and go on to much better things? And last year, there was a mixed view on a horse like Tiako Shark. Came out, of course, and ran third. So It'll be interesting how history views the decision that's been taken this morning, but the committee certainly comfortable with the 14 that will face the starter on Saturday.
Michael, is Greg Carpenter involved in the discussion?
History will view it.
Is Greg Carpenter involved in this discussion in regards to handicap? I mean, Mugatu is the other one that I'm staggered that he wasn't in the discussion of the four horses you were umming and ahhing about. He won a low-grade race, the Newcastle Cup, to be brutally honest, and then ran second in a pretty low-grade Metropolitan Handicap. How does he get ahead of a horse like Buckhurst, who's been winning Group 3 races and giving weight to horses like Sir Dragonair and beating him?
Yeah, the international rating is also one of the factors we take into consideration, and you may agree or you may disagree, but Mugatu's come through with an international rating of 118, and one thing that we do take into consideration is their performances at Group 1 level. Now, to run second in a Metropolitan, you look back to one of the great Cox Plate wins of all time. Saintly couldn't win a Metropolitan, and then he came out, of course, and won the epic Cox Plate back in 1996. So, you know, there is some history there with the pathway that Connections have elected to take. You know, question mark, did he quite run out the 2,400 metres? Not sure. But he's also a horse that does come in with the X factor. So we're keen to see what he can do on Saturday and then moving forward.
I think you're right, Michael. I think Mugatu deserves his place in the race. You know, he's Group 1 start. I think carrying a big weight. Admittedly, you know, the horse that beat him probably didn't get the chance to show his best last weekend, but was probably well beaten in anyway. The one that interests me more than anything is Master of Wine. He's not Group 1 place. He's been beaten by Buckhurst only 7 days ago convincingly, giving him weight. But it seems an extraordinary decision to me. And he's got nothing like our international rating or competed against the level of horses. But anyway,
Michael,
there's not much I can do about it.
Can I just ask about the philosophy of the Cox Plate? Is it to get a capacity field regardless, or is it to have the most elite horses running regardless of a capacity field? Is the philosophy the same as it was 20 or 30 years ago, or is it changed for wagering purposes and capacity field purposes?
I can answer the capacity field question with one name, Trap for Fools. We elected not to let him run back in 2018. We went in to Winx's fourth win in the Cox Plate. I think we only had 8 or 9 runners from memory that year, and we left a horse like Trap for Fools out. And, of course, he came out and made us look silly 2 weeks later when he won a McKinnon, beating the Team Williams horse in La Trobe. So, we're not after a capacity field, Matt. We're after each horse to justify their position in it. You know, a horse like Natoya winning a Group 1 Doncaster, we think the Doncaster is a race worthy of being represented in the Cox Plate. And as I've said, the Caulfield Guineas, we do rate the three that crossed the line there. And of course, So You Think, having ran fifth, there was a lot of debate about him that year, and he only snuck into the field back in 2009 after the New Zealander Sir Slick was ruled out at 5 o'clock on the Monday with the stone bruise. Otherwise, So You Think would have carried the 15 saddle cloth.
Nick, appreciate your time this morning.
But hang on, Michael, doesn't that answer your question then?
So the 2 3-year-olds, which both were emergencies in effect.
That's right.
Yeah, so,
hasn't that answered your question? And they're both much better performed horses than the one you've put in this year.
Yeah, but what we're saying is with the Group 3 wins that Buckhurst has, we rated a Group 1 third in the Caulfield Guineas ahead of Buckhurst's Group 3 wins.
Wow.
Nick, I appreciate your time this morning. We can feel the disappointment and the angst.
It's terribly disappointing, but anyway, it is what it is. We're not going to change it, and let's just hope it's a good race and everyone has some luck and there's no injuries and nothing goes wrong, and it's a great event. That's the important thing. It's the 100th Cox Plate. It's a pretty significant race. We'd love to have a runner in it. We should have a runner in it, but we haven't got a runner in it, so that's life.
Good on you, Nick. Appreciate your time. Nick Williams. open and honest feedback. That's what we're about here on RSN.
Can we get Wendy Roach on now?
So, no, what we're going to double down because we want to get Danny O'Brien on, and we're convinced you stuffed up the barrier draw.
All right, I've handled Nick. Now let's go with Danny.
Good morning to you, Danny. Other than not getting a run in the race, is barrier 15 into 14 probably what was considered your worst result this morning?
Look, I understand why people talk about barrier draws because there's not much left to talk between now and the race. But I think we drew 22 in the Melbourne Cup last year, and it was the same thing. You know, you're asked for comment because we need something to fill the space, but barriers are a much overrated or over-discussed factor of why horses win and don't win races.
It can't help him, though, surely. It's a small run to the first turn. It's a tricky circuit, his first look at it in a race. What's your gut feel about, do you ride him cold? How do you think it will pan out?
I'll put Damien on the horse and he'll go to the barriers and then they'll open and Damien will ride the horse. Like, that's why you have good jockeys. You don't have to worry about how it's going to pan out if you've got an outstanding rider on a horse. And yeah, we've certainly got that.
Danny, you were probably busy this morning. Did you have a chance to see your nemesis in Arcadia Queen's little work today? She was sparkling to show that you've got the right form references.
Yeah, look, she's a very, very good mare. In fact, she could easily be going for a second Cox Plate. If they'd probably had her in Melbourne last spring, it wouldn't surprise me if she was on her way towards a back-to-back attempt. But she certainly showed that she was right back to her best there in the corporate stakes, and her best is very, very good. So I'd expect her to probably start favourite on the day. And, you know, we're hoping a few factors can turn around the result from the Caulfield Stakes, but we're, you know, very respectful of what a big task it will be to beat her.
I might just quickly jump in, guys, with a question to Danny about the three internationals. Danny, I had a chat to Daniel O'Sullivan this morning about the threat they posed, and he said the three of them are within a length of each other, basically, with their form and their ratings, and he said that marries up pretty much to the sort of the 105 rating that Arcadia Queen and Russian Camelot bring to the table. And his suggestion was we should be wary of them but not scared of them. Is that your take on the three raiders?
Again, it'd be very difficult for me to have an opinion on horses I've only just seen. But you know, Daniel's a guy who does the form in both hemispheres. And if he's got them, you know, very closely matched, then I'd be happy to accept that. And, you know, the only thing, obviously, I know the stables, they're very good stables. You know, Aiden doesn't send horses down here that he doesn't think are going to be very competitive. The Dragon has just come out of Aiden's stable, so he's the horse that's been very competitive at all his runs this season as well. I'd expect them to be really good chances in the race. I think the two horses that are coming down from Sydney and Probabil and Colding are probably being a bit ignored at the moment too. Their form's excellent out of the best races in Sydney this spring. So I think it's a very deep race.
Danny, you'd probably be happy to see the three-year-old who's likely to be the pace setter and put a bit more speed into the race. You said after Caulfield you'd like it to be a more, I suppose, brutal contest than what it was?
Yeah, well, look, Caulfield was what it was because it was, you know, it was five runners and it really there was only two live chances, or probably, to be fair, Humidor as well, but it was very much a firm deck and a barrier trail speed. You'd think in a Cox Plate with the 14 runners and an even group that there's going to be a bit more tempo on, and Grand Slam seemed to race really well running along in the Caulfield Guineas, so I doubt they'd be looking to change tactics with him. Whatever happens, it certainly won't be anywhere nearly as slowly run as what the Caulfield Stakes was.
Danny, best of luck on Saturday with Russian Camelot.
Thanks, guys.
Matty, question to you. Danny's not worried about barrier 15. He'll start from 14. How much of a dent do you think it is for Russian Camelot?
It's like looking at a chessboard, isn't it, when you get the field and the barriers and you wonder what piece goes where and all that sort of stuff. Look, the way I see it is that maybe Grand Slam and Magic Wand are the two that will go forward. My understanding of the other two internationals is that they're probably midfield. I think Probabil will probably get a lovely run up on the speed. And I think Damien will have to make a decision, because does he want to have some control over the outcome, or does he want to be at the whim of everything else that he can't predict? And if he does go back, Richo, he's kind of at the whim of the pattern that he can't control. But if he at least goes forward and has a look, he takes it into his own hands a bit. And there may be a hole to jump into up on the speed, but does he run the risk of that not happening? So I think, as Danny O'Brien said, I mean, you do rely on Ollie's rapid instincts when the gates open to make these decisions, but Ollie will still have to make a call on it, won't he?
Yeah, 100%. Well, and straight away, you know, as we saw, I mean, we spoke so much about the speed map from a Caulfield Cup point of view, and then Anthony van Dyck was slowly away. So it goes straight out the window. And it can be the reverse, of course. Russian Camelot may bounce like Vowan Declare did. He jumped from 22 in the Melbourne Cup, and after about 10 lengths, he was nearly in front. And he's thinking, oh, well, I've come this far and I've done it with no energy and no effort. I might as well go forward and lead.
Would he do it so, you think, and try and be the best horse and do it that way? I know everyone said, oh, look, you know, he needs a good tempo and a flow into the race, but I think that's rubbish. I don't necessarily...
Not if they're thinking of a Melbourne Cup. They're not going to push a button and go forward if they've got a Melbourne Cup on the radar.
I'll give you 5-1 running in a Melbourne Cup now, but...
Just to run.
Well, Ferrante went forward and was brave on a Cox Plate and came out and won.
They've been trying to get him to settle, though, haven't they? Because he does tend to race.
Well, that's why Mike's pacemaker's in the race. Grand Slam. Is it still too soon?
Hey, I've got to ask you the question, because it will be out there. $200,000 late entry fee. Did that?
$54,000.
Have any impact?
No, the late entry fee is $200,000. So it's not $54,000 as a late entry and then the acceptance fee of $200,000. $200,000 covers it all.
Right.
That doesn't come into it, believe it or not. We've had years before where, in recent years, a horse like Mourinho, Team Galagotas, turned up with their $200,000. And once again, we went with a less than capacity field, didn't let him in. So it helps, but it doesn't get it across the line.
I'm conscious of the clock. So a couple of things just to clarify, because there'll be a lot of people discussing.
We're going to go to 10:15. You can hang around after
ratings. Ratings, what we see on Racing Australia's site versus the ratings that you've used. Now, Grand Slam was rated 66. You mentioned an international rating, which was totally different to what we will be perceiving there, because you mentioned over 112.
112 is Grand Slam's international rating coming out.
So Ole Kirk's rating on Riser on Racing Australia is 109, just to give you context.
Yeah, I would say Ole Kirk would have an international rating of 120 or more, having won a Golden Rose and a Caulfield Guineas. They are two completely different rating systems.
Yep. Okay, and so that puts that one to bed, because there's a lot of people getting confused about that. And the second one is, Nick Williams raised an interesting point in regards to Master of Wine and Buckhurst. The fact that Buckhurst gave him weight, so Greg Carpenter rated him superior and gave him 1.5 kilos more than Master of Wine, and he still gave him a beating. Did that come into any of your calculations?
It was certainly mentioned around the table. It was, when we go through and do the pros and cons, that was one point that was raised. But Master of Wine, of course, his autumn form, Queen Elizabeth Stakes was a great run. Finishing fourth, and then, of course, his run in the Turnbull Stakes. Ran fifth, beaten 3/4 of a length behind Very Elegant at Flemington. What is it now? Almost two weeks ago. So that was what tipped Master of Wine just ahead of Buckhurst. But, yeah, it's, as I said, four doesn't go into three, and you need to work your way through lining them up against each other to then land on an order where one of them is declared an emergency.
Hey, Browley, if Grand Slam falls into the lap of Probabil, Nick Williams and I will be on the prowl, I tell you.
Oh, Matt's got his life on Probabil a place. So I thought it would have been even more entertaining if you made her first emergency.
Yeah, that's right. Even if she won a Group 1 leading in.
Can I just suggest, though, you go back and have a look at a little horse called Jamaica when she ran here as a 3-year-old on Cox Plate. They absolutely brained them over 2,040 metres. In the Vase, and you would have seen Jamaica win that day. And you know, the question is, what if? What
that's
if
a, that's a tenuous link to Grand place. Slam. The fact that her sister could run, his sister could run.
Dawn Fraser's sister couldn't swim.
Dawn Fraser's brother couldn't swim. Mike,
we've got to say goodbye, Browley. Appreciate your time. You copped a few to the ribs today, but it's been great. And that's what we like about the Mini Valley Racing Club. You get out there on the front foot. This is going to enhance the build up. Richo, can you hang around 10:15?
No, I can't.
Why not?
Okay. Sure, 10.
And it has been a controversial morning out here at Moonee Valley with the final field announced and the barrier draw as well. Jason Richardson from racing.com is with me and Maddie Stewart back in the studio. And about quarter past, we'll be getting Harry White on to find us all the winners at Wodonga today as well. So, Richo, Maddie, final field. We've done to death the three-year-old and those that didn't get into the race. Those that are there, how much does the barrier draw now with Russian Camelot out wide? A really nice barrier for Armory. Arcadia Queen's drawn nicely as well. Has that altered your thoughts on the Cox Plate?
Hasn't altered my thoughts. I've been very firm on Armory throughout. I think he fits the perfect profile. Coolmore targeted the Caulfield Cup with Anthony Van Dyke. They've targeted this race with Armory and Tiger Moth. They've targeted the Melbourne Cup. And I think they've picked three perfect horses for each assignment. Anthony Van Dyke just missed. I'm convinced Armory will run in the top three. I actually thought Buckhurst was going to be really hard to beat. I thought he over-raced a touch with the blinkers. They were going to take the blinkers off. Jamie Carr, I think he's better at 2,000 metres. I could have seen him sitting right behind the pacemaker in Grand Slam. So I firmly believe he'd run in the first four if he actually
sounded
got in
like
the field.
You'd had an early bet on him.
No, I definitely had an early bet on him. No doubting that. And Armory as well. But what we saw from Arcadia Queen, she's going to take some holding out. And, Matty, what do you do with a horse like Colding? He's the hardest horse for me to assess whether or not what we saw in the order meant that he didn't like Caulfield or didn't he like Melbourne Way or didn't he like it really firm. Which one of them?
Yeah, I thought you summed it up really well with Christopher John Waller on After the last night when you presented those conundrums with Colding about whether it was left-handed, spring, autumn, soft, dry and all that sort of stuff. I don't rate the horse at all. I mean, okay. I know he's winning in Sydney, but he's kind of doing it cheaply without any necessarily any stars around. And the map went against Fierce Impact last start and so on, and we yet to see anything from Colding to suggest he's a... In the context of a Cox Plate left-handed in spring, if he's a contender. So I think he's going as well as he can. But I think Waller summed it up yesterday, where at the back of his mind, Richo, I don't think even Waller thinks that he's a left-handed horse, and he's just hoping that the camber of Moonee Valley will iron something out. But I can't factor him in because I've never been a Coldingman.
Got a few SMSs. They're flooding through, actually. You're not surprising the Buckhurst mission. Was Dan Andrews on the panel? extraordinary decision by the Moonee Valley Racing Club. Just remind us how Master of Wine gets in.
Well, they've got the same international ratings. So that's where it's fascinating. The same international ratings. Buckhurst has given him weight and a beating. And Michael said the committee went back to the fact that Master of Wine ran fourth in the Queen Elizabeth as the reason why he got promoted. Is that relevant? You know what? Master of Wine can run the top four as well. I thought he and Buckhurst could both run in the top four, Matty, because I reckon it's got a tail to it. Natoya, you've mentioned Colding. And if you don't like Colding, therefore you can't like Fierce Impact, you probably can't like Mugatu. Humidor, can he win at his 58th attempt? Grand Slam, the three-year-old's not good enough. And Magic Wand's out of form, is she?
Funny enough, I think Fierce Impact will bounce a bit better than Colding. We've seen him left-handed, and I know that the stable thought he was flying into that race last start, and the map and everything, the race shape just was terrible for Fierce Impact. So he'll beat home Colding, and he's a first four or five finisher. But I think that the committee was mesmerised by the idea they needed a three-year-old for that X factor in the race. And I think that it could have been pulling a cart around the Botanical Gardens. As long as it was three, they were going to put it in. So so that's what I think they've fallen into with Grand Slam. But I agree. I think there's a tail. And I was only half joking before when I thought that Grand Slam might fall into the lap of Probabil. It's almost mapped for a left field catastrophe for my place bet there with a fading 3-year old to land into my beautiful little place getter.
Are we talking just so we can have some sort of
knee trembling and clammy hands type place
bet? Are we talking moving postcode sort of setup?
No, but we're talking
maybe some furniture though.
Because my mortgage suspension through COVID has just elapsed, so it keeps the Bank of Melbourne at bay for till the end of summer, that sort of thing.
Actually, Mickey Blue Eyes just wrote on a piece of paper here, maybe he can afford some furniture.
Some furniture.
Rather than cardboard
Michael,
boxes. Michael, what does that mean?
You're invading my place every Saturday, and you know I'm a minimalist by nature. So
no, it is.
If you'd like a settee to put your foot on, then you can bring your own. I've stolen half his outdoor furniture, by the way, Richo. It's now my indoor furniture. So
the bet was placed rather late at night, which is when Matt does his best
work.
It was a bit Adam Gilchrist when I put it on.
Other SMSs coming through about Russian Camelot. I don't mind the barrier. He will be the stalker. He will be drawn to get a nice run into the race.
Plus, he's claustrophobic. Keep in mind. Yeah. So drawing wide's actually positive.
Where have you got him rated, Russian Camelot?
He's one of four chances for mine. I've got Probabil, Armory, Arcadia Queen and Russian Camelot. They're the four that I think, they're my top four at the moment.
Matt's jumped right off the bandwagon because he was on him at the start. Now, where do you see Russian Camelot in the Cox Plate, Matt?
I just see him as a horse whose first big preparation is probably going to quickly catch up with him. I still see him as 6 months behind and a star of 2021, but I think, Richo, you might have nailed it. I think as much as Danny O'Brien says he doesn't think much about barriers, maybe the claustrophobia was last horse in is what he wanted. He didn't want to be second last horse in. He wanted to be in and out quickly. Maybe there was a bit of a mindset there. So I think Ollie's going to have a really interesting first 50 metres because if there's a lot of flopping out the back horses inside him, well, I think he's got to think a bit like So You Think. If they still think this is the best horse in the race, and going back isn't necessarily going to make him race better. It could even, yanking him back might even, you know, have a similarly unravelling effect. So I think there's a 50-50 chance that Ollie will be thinking, if I assess things quickly, I might be really positive out and I might try and get into a nice rhythm on the speed and see how good this horse is. Knowing that, as you say, Richo, there's a bit of a tail behind him in the run. So I think probably other than Grand Slam knocking me out of contention when it weakens, I think Probabil's mapped to settle reasonably close. Not that that's her usual pattern, but I think she now has that opportunity to settle third, fourth with a really cosy run. And if the brakes come her way when the long tail wave starts coming, I'm pretty happy with Probabil where she's drawn, to be honest.
And thank God she came here this morning because she had a real look around. Paddy Payne saying that she saw, because when you come around the bend here and you're actually, for the horses, they look like they're running straight at the grandstand before they make that left-hand turn. And because the grandstand's so close, he said she had a real look at it. In fact, when she was the first horse out. She didn't want to go out.
Yeah.
She stayed in the middle of the straight here. She was not keen to be involved. I don't know whether it was Mooney Valley, Maddie, or it was the big serious place parlay.
Has she been able to have her regimate? I'm worried about all these little things now. Has she got her regimate? Is she happy?
The Kiwis are really concerned. Jamie Richards was beside himself when we spoke to him earlier.
Was he?
The last one,
oh, don't tell me.
The last one before. I told him yesterday that she had a hoof abscess and was taken out, and he nearly got. Arcadia Queen, is she the X Factor?
Oh, she's a ripper, isn't she? She looked
fantastic
the work
of the morning?
Around here. Oh, no doubting that. But to be honest, she was actually the only one who tried.
Yep.
Because the others had been here before, and they were here for a little meander, if you like. And, you know, we could see Maddie just stride purposely over 100 metres, and if he was just going through his gears and everyone would go, gee, he's got a bit of a kick there available.
I've told you about my past.
I know, we've told.
Well, if it wasn't for my bung knee, I'd still go with that challenge that I challenged you with.
Any sport that starts with the word under is ineligible. You know that. If you say under 13, I just tune right out, mate.
But is she, Richo, is she, now that the barrier draw has, I think it's lovely for her, barrier eight, do you think that Arcadia Queen is the rightful, Michael, I think Michael's suggesting that she'll gallop into favouritism now. Is that inevitable?
I think Armory will start favourite.
And Arcadia Queen will be the two that I think fight out favourite.
Yeah, I think Armory will start favourite. And I still think Russian Camelot, he'll be still really solid. I could see a resurgence, but I think that the Irish eyes will be smiling and people will go back and have a look at that Irish Champion Stakes and think about how much we've lauded the career of Magical. Gayath's just retired, how brilliant he was in the early part of that season. And there's success running forward.
Was it a fluke or was it
No, far from a fluke. Mm. Armory, yep. Well, you go back and look at its form profile. I've just, before that, it won the Royal Whip. Now, Buckhurst won the Royal Whip the year before, actually. It's a really serious Group 3 race. the start before that as a three-year-old. It tackled the older horses in the Tats Gold Cup back in July, where it ran fourth. It was right next to Search for a Song, who came out and won the Irish St. Ledger.
It did get beaten a long way by Sir Dragonet, though.
It got beaten two lengths.
Yeah, but and it was under pressure.
Yeah, but that was early in its
in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, that's back in July, and then it had two runs since, and it's improved each and every one.
I think he's going to be the one of the horses to beat, but I don't think it's a dead set Morale.
Just before we tip,
can
I just ask Humidor, you guys?
Humidor's the roughy that can sneak home into a place and be the fairy tale story, even though the barrier doesn't suit.
In a foo sort of way. Can I just ask you guys generally? I've always held the belief, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that it should be a hard race to get into, and it should be familiar faces, and it should be branded that way as a point of difference. Do you think that they've lost their way a little bit with the sort of the fringe dwellers that now find their way into the Cox Plate, or am I misreading the history and that they've always been there, but I've forgotten about them?
Yeah, well, I mean, you go back and have a look at... you could be right, Matty, but at the same time, I thought they went too hard the other way. You know, when Cole Diesel missed out and not being good enough, that was ridiculous. I mean, he won a Toorak and won a Caulfield Cup.
Did you go through that field, though? I went through that field last night. It was the hottest field other than 1992. There were Zabeel, Kings High. All these sort of horses were fleshing that race out. So if ever there was a year... I mean, I agree with you. I mean, he should have got in, but it was also a race chock full of superstar horses, so...
Well, I tell you what, there'll be a few nervous committee men watching the 100th running of the Ladbrokes Cox Plate on Saturday, and they'll want the three-year-old Grand Slam to be very competitive. But I love the discussion. We've had a huge amount of discussion this morning, a huge amount of traffic on the SMS, and that will continue. Anything that can be talked about is good for the race on Saturday. Richo, so good to have you on board, mate.
Brilliant to be here. Good luck to all the RSN listeners. Hope you make a fortune this weekend. We'll chat it all about the Manicato, and make sure you tune in to racing.com, and we'll... try to showcase it as best we can, unfortunately, in tough circumstances where we don't get to talk to a lot of people. It's frustrating for us because of all the restraints, but we're trying our best to try to showcase what we can of the sport. Well,
you guys are doing a great job, and I know Jane Ivel's just picking the eyes out of them in the mounting yard. So
it always comes back to the pocket with you, doesn't it?